it's Monday, June 1st, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Nora Sellier in Tel Aviv. The UN Security Council is meeting later today to discuss Israel's advance into Lebanon. In a moment, Dr. Inat Wilf tells me it's long past time for Lebanon to assert its sovereignty and for the West to stop coddling Israel's enemies. That in a moment, but first the headlines. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has ordered the IDF to resume strikes on Beirut, citing Hezbollah's repeated ceasefire violations. This after the US attempted to broker another truce, but was reportedly rebuffed by Lebanese officials who insisted that Israel, not Hezbollah, lay down arms first. There were multiple drone and missile attacks on northern Israel yesterday, and some schools remain closed. According to some reports, the Trump administration has given Israel the green light to go into Lebanon and finish the job. An IDF soldier has been killed and three others wounded in a Hezbollah drone strike in southern Lebanon overnight. The slain soldier has been named as Staff Sergeant Adam Tzafati, 20 years old, from Rosh Ha'in. He was a fighter in the Commando Brigade's elite Maglan unit. The explosive-laden drone struck near the strategic Beaufort Castle overnight, an area Israeli forces captured earlier this week. President Trump has told critics of his Iran policy to sit back and relax. Writing on Truth Social, Trump said Tehran wants a deal and claimed that constant criticism from Democrats and Republicans was making his job harder. The comments come after direct exchanges of fire between the US and Iran over the past 48 hours. The US hitting Iranian military targets along the Strait of Hormuz, while the IRGC claims it targeted a US military base, though it did not specify which one. Kuwait did come under missile and drone attack overnight. Two teenage Israeli girls have been wounded, one of them seriously, after a Palestinian terrorist rammed his vehicle into them at the Gush Etzion junction in Judea and Samaria. The victims, aged 15 and 17, were evacuated to Jerusalem's Shaare Zedek Medical Center. A soldier at the scene quickly neutralized the attacker. And finally, a 12-year-old Israeli boy has discovered a rare 1,500-year-old gemstone during an archaeological dig in the Upper Galilee. The blue stone, known as Nicolo, was likely part of Roman or Byzantine-era jewellery and was considered a symbol of wealth and prestige. Archaeologists say the discovery offers a rare glimpse into life in ancient Chorazim, a Jewish village that is mentioned in the New Testament. Before we get to today's conversation, a warm word of thanks to our sponsors. Steve and Adina Fredman made today's episode possible. If you'd like to be a sponsor, drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Inat Wilf. The UN Security Council is meeting later today to discuss what Israel is doing in Lebanon. Nobody is talking about Hezbollah. Just what is your outlook for the North?
We're stuck in a situation where for a very long time, Lebanon has been allowed to avoid any sovereign responsibility. It is a bizarre situation that is employed only when it comes to Israel, where countries are allowed to avoid any sovereign responsibility. They're completely exempt from it. And sub-sovereign organizations like Hezbollah are basically allowed to operate from a territory, and Israel is expected to somehow magically be able to only fight them while respecting the sovereignty of the country, but the country does not respect its own sovereignty. So it's a kind of madhouse that only applies to Israel, in which the United Nations, of course, is complicit. The United Nations passed various ceasefire resolutions. Israel's the only one that ever complied. And that's also a madhouse in which we're living, in which only Israel is somehow expected to comply with resolutions. But whenever any other side doesn't comply, again, that's somehow not on them, and they're exempt from any consequences or responsibility. I will say, though, that we are a unique and maybe fast-closing window that was created by Israel itself, in which Lebanon, for the first time, I would say in decades, has the opportunity to actually assert its sovereignty, because the bodies and organizations that have undermined Lebanese sovereignty for a very long time are weakened. It's Syria, It's the Palestinians through UNRWA, through Palestinian organizations. And of course, it's Iran and Hezbollah. And we're seeing very much a battle by Iran and Hezbollah to clutch to its dominance in Lebanon. So there should be a global interest. There is certainly an Israeli interest in Lebanese sovereignty. But somehow the notion is to actually continue to undermine Lebanese sovereignty rather than use this remarkable opportunity to finally assert it.
Let's talk about Gaza. There seems to be some hesitation on the part of the international community to start pouring billions of dollars back into rebuild Gaza once again. Do you think perhaps the cycle has been broken?
First of all, if this is true, then hurrah. Because this means that there is perhaps, I mean, I don't know if I dare to even believe in it, that there is an understanding that if you pour billions to an unrepented, unreformed population that continues to hold on to its worldview, that it is more important to destroy Jewish sovereignty in the land than it is to building for themselves, then, of course, if you're going to pour billions into it, you're going to get exactly what you pay for, which is a highly mobilized, weaponized population dedicated to the perverse vision of no Jewish state. I have a video of myself, I think around 2018, after the publication of The War of Return. At the time, there was massive pressure by the international community for Israel to allow ever more cement to enter into the strip, right? There was never enough cement. Now we know why. And I told them, what do you think is going to happen with all this cement when it goes to a population that tells you that Gaza is not their home, that they are fifth generation refugees believing in the false idea of a right of return? The cement will go to build tunnels for the project of ensuring there's no Jewish state. So this is still the ideology of the people of Gaza. Nothing has been done to move away from it. Children born in Gaza today are still bizarrely registered by UNRWA as Palestine refugees, even though they are none of that. Why pour billions into that? We already know what it pays for. How about we first ensure that the population is truly de-radicalized, understands that they're not refugees, there's no such thing as a right of return, and then and only then give them money when you know that they finally want to build for themselves rather than destroy what the Jews have built?
It sometimes seems like an impossible task, but could Israel be doing more to get its point across in the international media?
Of course. It should start by doing it. You're actually saying more as if we're doing it. We're not doing it. I mean, with all due respect, it can't be a bunch of dedicated individuals who write books and give talks. This has to be the state of Israel. And the state of Israel is doing exactly zero. The only problem has only ever been what I've come to name as Palestinianism, this ideology that is based on negation, on nothing constructive, that binds together the people of Gaza, the people of the West Bank, and millions of others, not in a constructive vision, but in a negation. Israel is doing none of that. Israel is not highlighting how ridiculous it is that UNRWA still operates in Gaza and the West Bank and Jordan and Lebanon. It's not highlighting that it is bizarre that people in Gaza are still registered as Palestine refugees. It's not making it clear that the absolute condition of allowing anything to be built in Gaza is to ensure that no one there is registered as a Palestine refugee, that there is an understanding that there is no such thing as a right of return, never has been. We're not doing anything. So starting to do more would be actually doing something. Israel is the only country expected to pull peace out of a hat, its enemies, every time they go to a war of annihilation and they lose, rather than get the constructive message of you lost, move on. The message they get is you didn't lose, your victory is merely delayed, try again. We have an enemy that is constantly encouraged to continue the war. How will anything good come of that? The enemy has to forgo its terrible ideology as the condition of anything moving forward.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching. Do subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Goodbye.